Hello, I'm Gosha from Cosmic Agency. How are you doing today? First of all, thank you everybody if you tuned in to our Coast to Coast program last night where me and Dale Harder appeared on the show and we had this opportunity to speak about Svaru and the Taygetans and about what they have to say. And well, the show went well. I'm going to try to, if not upload the whole show, I need to ask for permission, but if not that, probably just bits and pieces, I will try to publish that. It went well. It was amazing. I don't do interviews, so I was quite nervous, but it was okay. The time went very fast. I was trying to talk fast and I was trying to actually, present a lot of things very fast. There's so many things to share, and I could go on and on. So it was quite difficult to encapsulate the message and the most important points in a very short time. Today, I want to give you some little pieces of our chats with Svaru. These videos that I'm making here are not to present, this is for the new subscribers, by the way, these short videos, update videos, are not to present any specific topic in detail. The videos are for that, chats with Svaru, the videos are separately for that. And here just lists a little bit of here and there, the pieces of our chats. Okay, so here today I will talk about first about an aspect of, I am talking about the Taygetans, so I will just be speaking about them, but some things apply to many extraterrestrial races. So the first thing I'll be talking about, the not-so-human aspect of them, of the Pleiadians, of Taygetans, and of extraterrestrials. Because, as you know, they are people, they are like us in so many aspects. They are not even very different from us physically, some of them, if you saw them on the street, in our human earthly clothes. And also, you know, they are trying to communicate with us using the common frame of reference, because there are a lot of areas in common we have with them. So as we communicate with them and then as they communicate with you, they are trying to do that through that common ground. However, there are aspects of them, and I would just want to say this here, that are not so human, and these are parts of them that they find more difficult to express. For the most part, what you see in these videos and in our explanation sometimes of them is the human side of them. The jokes, because I keep telling you that they are quite playful sometimes, you know, they're not very serious all the time. The way they talk is very familiar. Annika expressed she liked the light in her shoes and to dance, and you know, we have taken this time to express to you that they are quite normal. But apart from this apparent normality and common frame of reference, there is another part of them, and she explains another part of us, which is the main part of our lives, which is nothing human. It is that, as we have said here, as Svaru explains, it is necessary to have a common frame of reference in order to understand each other. That is why the humans see our human side, and it's okay. But this is why also the skeptics use this against us, that we are so human, that it looks, that it's too familiar. But the fact is, the truth is, that they only see a small part of us, a part that is a common ground, part that can be seen, a part that is evident. But there is a very non-human part of us. And that part is very difficult for us to share, because when we do share it, on the other hand, we are seen as extremes, as crazy, as crazy inventions. It is that non-human aspect of us that is very difficult to explain. And here she is referring to the multidimensionality, multi-timeline aspects of their lives. Here we are living in a very 3D linear time. Everything is linear. There's only one version of us. There's only one life. There's only one perspective. There's only one Gosha. But there, from 5D and beyond, everything changes. And the incarnations begin to intertwine. The versions of yourself begin to intertwine and come across you and come into the interaction with you. And especially Svaru, because she is a time traveler. She's an expert in time manipulation as well. She has lived in different in times in a human history. So it's very complicated, especially for her. So here she's explaining that level of their reality. Gosha, have you seen the multi-level chess boards? Playing chess, but several games at once. Life on Earth, as complicated as it may be, is a one-level chess game. She's talking about themselves, we have to live on several planes, several incarnations, affecting and interacting with the present as a multi-level chess. That is the biggest difference with 3D. And time, having no linear time, and not having exactly a veil of oblivion, not as we know it here on Earth, the consequences and implications of that, of remembering, are many. It changes so much. This is what separates us from humans. This perception, this understanding, multiple incarnations interacting and interfering with each other. And here I must say, without going into much detail, that we have, you know, been able to witness this actually firsthand with Svaru's life story evolving and developing, because apart from the facts that we share with the public, they also share with us their personal life and their personal stories. The life there continues and goes on, just like here. It goes into different directions. It just, you know, it is a always changing phenomenon, life, just like it is here, especially there, when on top of what we have here, 3D linearity, on top of that, they have multi-linearity and multi-plane reality. Like she's comparing here to the multi-level chess, the game that is being played on different levels at the same time, and them being aware of that at the same time. So we have to keep that in mind. It's not easy for them to be contacting us and trying to say hello when, you know, they are trying to do this for the common ground and through common frame of reference, just like I explained in the beginning. But then at the same time, you know, if we only see that, there's a danger that we're going to see them as too familiar, too normal, and then we might just dismiss it as fake because it's just too familiar, too normal. But then on the other hand, they have this difficulty expressing that other extreme reality, because that's going to be taken as too much for some people. So it's like they are constantly battling the, you know, the difficulty of how to approach the humans in a correct way. So they are seen as, you know, as they are taken seriously. However, they don't even care about that anymore, to be honest. They are quite tired. I must say, you will understand more in the future videos. But they are still here, and they will be here. And I'm only talking about Taigetus, by the way. Okay, next subject. This is going to be just 15 seconds. Svaru, some time ago, shared with me this video that was found on the internet, because yes, they have the access to YouTube and the internet. And although they don't really watch the comments very much of our videos, this is the entrance to Agartha. I will talk about the inner Earth Agartha at some point and the civilizations and ET races. But she says this is basically, you see that that circle over there in the video. This is exactly, almost exactly, from what I remember, exactly how it looks. So it seems real. It seems real. This is how it is seen from above. Now, another topic, someone sent me the picture of the ship. They took a photo of a ship, which, by the way, I'm sorry, I'm not able to answer emails because if I do, I really have no time for videos and I have to do them in Spanish and in English. I have just absolutely no time to look at the messages. Sometimes I do, but it's like very generally and I don't have time to respond. So don't take it personally. I'm very sorry. This came from a friend. The person, well, his name is Nestor from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Thank you very much for providing this personal photograph. And I read this by Svaru. I asked her what this means. Please, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to run every single photo that you send me by her. So try not to send me photos of the ships. But unless you have something extremely important or interesting. So Svaru, this is how she interpreted this photo. This is what she told me about this. She says it's not a ship, it's a series of drones in formation. And they are not random lights, they are a message. As a lot of them, UFOs and the formations are not just lights that just happen to appear, but they are a message. At first, Svaru thought they were Tegeten numbers. She says, at the first look, they look like Tegeten numbers, but I think it is a formula pointing to a constellation. And she goes on, it has numbers there, and the constellation coordinates exact ones. And then she analyzes it more, and she says, it's from Orion. And the message in that formation says, greetings, we are here from Orion, and we have traveled the 13 constellations. And here I ask her, okay, Svaru, if you had, you know, had to look at this to analyze and decipher the message, how did they expect us to get the message? And she says, well, the ones who send the message don't know your level of understanding. This is very important. Many extraterrestrial races don't have the exact access to our civilization and what's going on Earth, like Tegetans, like Andromedans, like many Federation races and other non-Federation races. There are many extraterrestrials who don't know how advanced we are exactly, but they are still here and they want to say hello. So they are sending these formations and the ships, and they think, well, if they are advanced enough, they will be able to decipher this. They assume. So that's interesting. She says those drones don't come from far away. There is a large ship nearby. There is a big, large ship nearby sending those drones. They are trying to communicate. They are not random lights. Orion, because I asked who are these beings from Orion. Orion has both positive or negative factions. But if those are there, near the Earth, that means that they have passed the Federation blockade. And if they are sending a message that way, being so close to you, then they can only be positive. Doing what they can to say, hello, we are here. So that's important also here to mention. If they are here, if they passed the Federation blockade, then it's more than probable that they are not negative. So that was an interesting interpretation of the photo. Now, in the last weeks, we have been talking with Svaru about stellar navigation too. This is going to be an astounding, superb, technical article. Well, it was in the form of a chat about the functioning of their starships, of their ships. Not just the functioning, but she goes into the parts, technical description of each part, what they do, the generators, the turbines, the motors, gravity will be explained. That's going to be fascinating, by the way. That's going to be fascinating. So while we were at this, discussing this, the subject of the reverse engineering came up. And Svaru had these points to contribute on this topic. She says that yes, many things have been retrieved by reverse engineering, but it's not as it is imagined. It's not that everything can be copied and replicated this way. This is what she explains. While they can reverse engineering a lot of things, they cannot do it with everything. The difference in technical understanding between our races is gigantic. It is comparable to the Spaniards of the time of Hernán Cortés being given a modern nuclear submarine. And she says, okay, let's see, Hernán Cortés, I give you totally unlimited funds, but I want you to copy this strange device so that we can do three more like that. She says, not possible. So the Hernán Cortés, with his current understanding, will not be able to replicate this at all. So she says, just the metallurgy would take centuries to understand. And then there is the electronics. The reverse engineering of crashed UFOs brings results, but limited. Only parts of that can be understood. It is believed that UFOs are copied in their entirety. It is not the truth. It is not the case. It is not like that. It cannot be done. Some things can be copied, others not. Another problem is that you don't have or know all the chemical components, elements on Earth. You don't know all the chemical elements on Earth. So many materials, compounds, and alloys are completely unknown and incomprehensible to you still. So that was just a short note about what she thinks about the whole reverse engineering subject. Now, as you know, we have shared recently that we had this amazing audio with Khalil, the Tigerton pilot. Many of you are asking me to share this audio. Okay, just as it is with the subject of the photos, it is not permitted. It is prohibited, and it enters in the realms of, you know, of the Prime Directive. Actually, just him doing this, he rebelled against the Prime Directive. He crossed it. He went against it. We are very thankful for that. Thank you, Kale, very much. But then sharing that audio with the humanity at this point, that's just going too much. Just going too beyond what's permitted. Any audio visual material can be shared at this time. It's not such a simple subject as you might think. Oh, just share the photo, share the audio. No, the implications of this are actually huge, and possible consequences and implications are much more beyond what we imagine. So I'm actually going to make a video very soon this month about why is there no physical tangible proof to this contact, and the audio goes into that subject. Okay, so stick with me, and if you are asking yourself still this that question, why is she not giving any proof, how can we believe this, I mean, come on, give us some proof, wait for this video, listen to it with the open mind. I'm going to present all the possible explanations and reasons given by them why the proof cannot be given. Make up your own mind, listen to the videos, and let the information speak for itself. It's very important you come to the conclusion yourself, but that's going to be mentioned also in the video. So going back to the audio, remember I was telling you that the sound could be heard like a little swooshing sound or the wind or like something very, very, very subtle in the distance. We could hear that. It was exciting to hear that. So we talked to Khalil about this, and he gave us this little explanation of that sound. This is what he said. What could be interpreted, I never know how to pronounce this word, interpreted, okay. What could be interpreted as the sound of the wind or the ship passing through the atmosphere is really the sound of the plasma pressing backwards. The ship being loaded inside its shield toroid shield, does not touch the atmospheric air that only slips through the hull. That will be explained also in the navigation video about how their ships use the toroidal immersion. So them being in the toroidal shield, it doesn't touch the atmospheric air that only slips through the hull. Thanks to this, the ship does not experience atmospheric friction or hull heating for the same reason. However, since the atmosphere is in close proximity to this class of high-powered magnetic charges, an ionization of the hull can usually occur, not always, producing a distinctive color or brightness of the UFOs. That was just a short explanation of this. Now, we are thinking, it's just an idea, but we are thinking to actually interview him more, talk to him more. Interview sounds very formal. It would be like, talk to him more about him, about what he does, about his, flying experience, about his ship, about his navigation. He already said yes, so it's just a matter of coordinating this. So I'm sure you will find this fascinating. I think I have nothing more at this point. Thank you so much for everything. The next two videos will be... Okay, next two videos will be very serious. And the next two videos might be a bit maybe hard for some to process, okay? Because they will be addressing the subject of are we or are we not ready for the official massive contact with the extraterrestrials. So the conclusions of the Tygetan's crew will be presented, and let me just maybe give you an aperitif, or maybe let me just give you the conclusion, final conclusion itself, but you have to wait for the video to understand the reasons. Basically, the conclusion is we are not ready for the massive official contact. But please listen to the videos. It will be done in two parts because you will understand exactly the reasons and exactly why they reached these conclusions. And these conclusions include the solutions, include the practical solutions to the situation, so that once applied, we can slowly start to become more and more ready for the official contact. Because eventually it will happen. It's imminent. The Earth is ascending. We are ascending. They are examining different strategies for the contact. At this point, they have reached conclusion we are not ready for the contact. But as I said, in those videos, there will be given practical solutions to how we can turn this around. So thank you very much. I am going to see you in the next video. Thank you. Have a nice day or night. Bye-bye.